This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. The surviving members of Iraq's new government are preparing for a formal transfer of power at the end of this month. In the past few days, a series of attacks has killed numerous Iraqis, including a senior civil servant and a top official in the foreign ministry. The attacks illustrate some of the pressure the new government will face when it assumes sovereignty in 2.5 weeks. We'll start our coverage with Brigadier General Mark Kimmett, who's a U.S. military spokesman in Baghdad. First, a bit of news here. There's been a car bombing today relatively near your location in central Baghdad, General. Several people killed. Do you know what the target was?
Well, we believe that the target was a coalition convoy of civilian vehicles, persons working on a contract to rebuild the Baghdad South power station. And is just indicative of the type of targeted assassinations against the persons and the infrastructure of this country that the terrorists have been conducting of late.
Now, regarding the assassinations of officials over the weekend, these were attacks on a government that is already assuming power, of course, in some ways. But will that government be any more safe against attack after it formally assumes power on June 30th?
Well, the real question is this new government concerned about the attacks on them? On a personal level, of course they are, but professionally they are all still standing up to the resistance. And despite the attempts of the terrorists to turn back the clock and try to derail this process, the Iraqi interim government and the people that are working for it are saying, no, we're going to move forward despite these dreadful attacks.
But as I understand it, part of the rationale for moving up the transfer of power was that it's harder for people to have an insurgency against a genuine Iraqi government. Is there any sign that the insurgency is waning as this government prepares to take power?
Not at this point. We have said for months and months, particularly when we found the Zarqawi letter, which indicated sort of a master plan on the part of this one noted terrorist, that he fully understood that up till June 30th was really his chance to try to paint the coalition as occupiers and paint the government officials as collaborators. After June 30th, the resistance is resisting against the people of Iraq. They are fighting against the legitimate government of Iraq. So we would hope that the terrorists recognize that after June 30th, they really have no one else to blame but themselves.
General Kimmett, how does the transfer of power affect day-to-day military operations in Iraq?
The political sovereignty handover is going to be far more significant than military activities on a day-to-day basis. Clearly, we have tried for some period of time, and will continue to try, to hand over more and more responsibility to the Iraqi security forces. Our exit strategy truly is manning, training, equipping, and fielding Iraqi security forces capable of their own national defense. So we will continue to work, as we have been for quite some period of time, to have more Iraqi involvement in the partnership between the Iraqi security forces and the multinational forces.
If there's fighting in Iraq and the interim government doesn't want the U.S. military involved in the fighting, what happens?
Well, that's a hypothetical. We would expect that well before June 30th, we will have worked out the procedures between the interim government and ourselves in terms of how we go through the steps of maintaining a common operational vision on both the Iraqi side and the coalition side.
Could you imagine a circumstance in which the U.S. military is planning an operation that it considers very important, but the Iraqi government simply tells you you can't do it? Is that a plausible circumstance?
Well, it certainly is. And in fact, much of what you've just described is what happened with Fallujah. We were continuing the military operation. The Iraqi government authority stepped in and said, look, why don't we try to solve this through political means rather than through military means? We listened, we adapted our plans, and that is why we now have a peaceful resolution to the situation in Fallujah. The interim government of Iraq should and will have a voice.
We're about to hear more about Muqtada Sadr, the cleric and militia leader, and uprising leader, if you will. He said over the weekend that he wants to transform himself into a political leader. What's your view of that?
Well, currently he is the leader of an illegal militia. However, if he could come to an accommodation with the government of Iraq and he faces justice for the standing indictment for his arrest in his connection with the murder of Ayatollah Alcoy, there have been practical cases in many countries where former militants have been brought into the political process. That's going to be a decision for the Iraqis to make. It certainly won't be a decision for the Americans to make.
Brigadier General Mark Kimmett is in Baghdad. General, thanks very much.
Thank you.